Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Good to be here. How you doing? Oh, you remember. You just didn't do the head action, you know? How you doing? Very good. Well, you know, people keep asking me, they say, how's retirement? I'm not retired. I'm still full-time at the church. Judy and I do a lot of global work. I get on a plane Thursday for 12 days, teaching, preaching in France, come home, lead a trip to Israel, come home, go to Thailand. So we're doing a lot of overseas work. I'm in the church a couple days a week, pastor, teach people, build leaders. I'm still working full time. My son's my boss, which is weird. They haven't written enough books about that, how weird that is. But yeah, we're having a good time. You may have heard the story about the husband and wife that are empty nesters, married 32 years, first 30 years, wonderful. Last 2 years, awful. Why? She's struggling. She was a stay-at-home mom. All the kids are gone. And what happens when a wife is unhappy? Who gets that? The husband. And so she's nagging on him. She's just awful. And after he stops feeling sorry for himself, he does what every godly man should do, and you pray. You talk to God about it, and so he does. He prays, and God brings different things to mind. He brings 1 Peter 3, which says, be considerate with your wife. Be considerate. So he goes, I know what I'm going to do. So he says to her, honey, her name's Lucy. His name's Ray. He says, Lucy, I'm going to send you to Florida. That's where your daughter is. Have a good time. Relax. And she goes, I can't go. Why not? Well, the last time I went away for a week, you can't even take care of my cat. He says, don't worry about the cat. I got the cat. You go to Florida. You'll feel so much better. She gets on a plane. She goes to Florida. First night, she calls him. How's the cat? He says, the cat died. Ray, don't tell me the cat died. What do you want me to do? He says, I thought I'd just be direct. I tell you honestly. She goes, no, you could have been compassionate. You could have told me gradually. You could have said the cat's on the roof the first day. The second day, the cat fell off the roof. Third day, the cat's hurting. And then the fourth day, the cat died. He says, you're right. You're right. Wasn't very sensitive. She goes, how's my mother? She's on the roof. So with that very important illustration on the importance of prayer, I'm going to give you today four of my, what I call prayer principles. It's a very personal sermon. I sat down, I said, Lord, I'm going to give him what the four prayer principles I have when I commune with you. So I'm hoping this saved you from getting into trouble yourselves and staying in the lane of what God's plan is for your life. So principle number one, show respect. When you talk to God about anything, you should show a little respect to the person you're talking to. You're addressing God. I can't believe the way some people pray sometimes. And they talk to him like he's their buddy. No, 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 no. Jesus taught us about this. When he addressed the Father, look how he taught his disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So first of all, first principle, you show a little bit of respect when you approach God. Jesus says when you pray to the Father, realize who you're talking to. He's holy. Now, a question is, of course, there, many people will ask, Pastor, is it okay to pray to Jesus? Do I have to pray to the Father? Can I pray to Jesus? Can I pray to the Holy Spirit? One God, three persons. Absolutely, it's okay to pray to the Trinity. I pray to the Holy Spirit, particularly when I'm looking for an answer to prayer in the role he plays. He's our comforter. He is the teacher. He's our guide. So when I need guidance and when I need comfort, I will often pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to Jesus about everything. He's my master. He's my king. He's my everything. But generally speaking, Jesus is saying when you address heaven, when you address God, you should pray to the Father, who's in heaven, it says. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Up, right? Paul talks about, at one point in 2 Corinthians, he says, I was transported. He doesn't use that word. He says what? He says, I was caught up. That's the word. That's the phrase. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven. Three heavens in the Bible. The nice blue sky, our sky, our atmosphere. Second heaven, space. Third heaven, God's abode. It's where God is. It's not, by the way, it's not God's address because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. But heaven is, if you will, God's power center. It's where God's judgments and actions originate. If you're in the army, you want to talk to the Pentagon. If you're in God's kingdom, you want to talk to heaven. It's where God operates. It's where God manages his kingdom. Our Father in heaven. And then holy is your name. God is holy. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, I don't know if our finite minds can really grasp the true holiness of God, but I do believe it means that God is totally other. Anything that I'll ever experience in this life, he is God. He is creator. He's holy. He's perfect. He's my Father. He loves you. He loves you, but he's holy, and he deserves respect when you address him. He's not, I pray to the big guy in heaven. Stop. Stop that nonsense. Jesus says, yes, he says, you call me friend. And I call you, you're a friend of mine. That's very true. How wonderful that is, that we're now a friend of Jesus. But he's God. This friend is God in the flesh. He's holy. Listen, it's one of the top 10, right? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Basically, God is saying, don't be careless with how you address him. Why? Because he's God. He's God, and God deserves respect. I shouldn't even have to say this, but unfortunately I do today. The first principle is when you pray, show some respect when you talk to God in prayer. Second principle, know your enemies. Know your enemies. Who are the enemies of prayer? Lots of them, but let me mention two of the biggies. Number one, self-reliance. Self-reliance. You see, prayer, true prayer, means you surrender any claim that your plans are wiser and better than God's plan for you. Let me repeat that. True prayer means you surrender any claim that your plans are wiser or better than God's plan for you. It's surrendering the belief that I know what's best for my life. You see, that kind of belief puts you at the center, and it reduces God to just an emergency option. I'll never forget being at a golf club once. It was a bunch of guys that were, we were all captains for the PGA tournament. And so we're sitting around this table, and there's the guys from different clubs, and I didn't know this guy. So we're sitting down, but I sensed he wants to talk to me. I could just sense it. And there were four of us there, and we got done, and we chit-chatted afterwards. And one by one, the guys started to pick up and leave, and he didn't leave. I knew he wanted to talk to me. And so finally, it was just him and I, and he says to me, you're a pastor, right? Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Sure. He says, I got to tell you something. He says, I've lived a really good life. He said, I had a great job, a great career. I made a good amount of money. I'm comfortable. I got a great wife. I got great kids. They're all healthy. I got wonderful grandchildren. I got to tell you, I don't need God. And I'm thinking, how clueless is this guy? He really thinks that he did all of it. He really thinks God was not involved in any of it. So I said, you want to know what I think? He says, yeah. I said, how blunt do you want me to be on a scale of 0 to 10? He goes, 10. I said, okay, here it is. Who do you think gave you all that? I said, listen to me. There is a God in heaven who loves you. He loves you. All of those things came by his hand. You ought to be thanking him. You ought to be trying to find out who he is, because they've all come from him. He goes, well, I suppose. Self-centeredness is an enemy of prayer. You know, I think a lot about the things that dominate our prayers. You know, I'll be honest, for me, the truth of the matter is, when I pray, most of it's about me. Most of it's about my needs, my wants. And sometimes God is like this divine waiter, you know? What do you want me to get for you today? What do you need today? Now, should your prayers involve making requests of God? Absolutely, absolutely. God encourages us to cast all of our cares upon him, all of them. So we should give God everything that concerns us. But that should not be the only things we pray about. And if you find that that's the only thing you're praying about, that may be a growth area in your prayer life. And I'll tell you how I notice this. When I go to third world countries where they don't have half the amusements, half the comforts, half the toys that we have, I listen to them pray. You could cut it with a knife. It is so clear. These people are praying a lot different than the way people pray in America. These people have none of the toys, none of the comforts. You think they would be praying for that? No, they do not pray for some sort of shopping list. You listen to them pray, here's what they pray about: evangelism. They pray about the gospel, getting to their country. They pray about their church. They pray about their pastor's needs. They pray about missionaries. They pray that the gospel will go out and people's lives will be changed and marriages will be healed. You listen to their prayers. It is totally different than our kind of prayers. I'll tell you an interesting study, if you really want to see this in Scripture. Analyze the prayers, particularly of the New Testament, by the people. How did they pray? What did they pray for? So let me give you an example. Peter, the Apostle Peter, he's in jail. And in Acts chapter 4, it says this: now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see it? You're not praying for him. He's in jail. You're not praying, oh God, I'm in jail, I'm being persecuted, please release me. This is not what you called me for. I'm in such pain and discomfort and fear. Nope. Lord, use this as an opportunity for people to hear about you. That I use it as an opportunity and help me to speak with boldness to people despite all the fear. What about the Apostle Paul? He's in prison too at one point. He's in a place called Colossae. And does he pray, Lord, get me out of the prison as soon as possible? No, he asks other Christians to pray for him. And look what he asks for in Colossians 4. And pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. In other words, Lord, if you want me in this place, I'm sure he wasn't happy in prison. But Lord, if you got me in this place, it's got to be for a purpose. I pray, Lord, whatever I'm supposed to do, I do it well. I do it clearly. Later on, he's in a place called Ephesus. And he asks for prayer. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the people. He's not concerned about him. What do you pray for? How do you pray for your kids when they're struggling? You pray a prayer like, God, please, please get them out of this. Bless them. Get them out of the trouble quickly as possible. Or do you pray, Lord, somehow I pray you'll use this so they end up hot for you, that they understand what is real and what's a priority in life? Or do you pray, bless them, Lord, protect them, get them out of this thing? When you lose your job, do you pray a prayer like, Lord, what's going on? I don't understand. You promised to provide all my needs. Or do you pray a prayer like, Lord, this is uncomfortable, this is hard, but I pray you'll show me your faithfulness. I pray you'll give me perseverance to trust you. This is a time to trust you right now. Self-centeredness is an enemy of prayer. Okay, so when you pray, number one, show respect. Number two, know your enemies, self-reliance, self-centeredness. Third prayer principle, be specific. Don't beat around the bush with God. I hear this prayer. Lord, bless the world. What kind of prayer is that? Could you be more specific? Back to Jesus' teaching to his disciples. Look what he says in Matthew 6. When you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need even before you ask it. Here's one that really gets me. This just eats my lunch. Lord, I have an unspoken prayer request. Stop with the unspoken prayer request. If you can't communicate what it is, and I'm there, I'm supposed to help you pray and intercede for you, how am I going to intercede if it's unspoken? If you want it unspoken, don't mention it. Other than that, I have no opinion on the subject. Jeez Louise. Unspoken prayer requests. What is that? You got to be specific. Why? Why do you have to be specific? So that when God does answer your prayer, and by the way, he always answers every prayer. Write this down. One of four ways. Yes, no, wait, or I got a better idea. And that one I hear a lot from God. I don't hear it right away. But later on, after the prayer, he communicates it to me. I got a better idea. So he always answers prayer. But you pray specifically so that when God does answer a specific prayer request, there's a specific praise. There's a specific answer to your prayer. And you log it in. It's a moment in your life. John chapter 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. I think it's assumed, it's specific. So that the Father may be glorified, there you go, in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. To pray specifically something to the Father through the Son gives glory to God when he answers specifically. Listen, God answers prayer to put his power and to put his glory on display for everybody to see. So be specific when you pray. Finally, number four, prayer at its very root is simply conversation with God. Folks, don't complicate it. Do not complicate prayer. We complicate it. You know, we have prayer rooms or prayer closets, and I get that. I have a place that's quiet that I go to, as if that's where I do prayer, and then when I get out of there, I don't pray. Stop with that. Prayer is like breathing for the believer. It happens naturally. Why? Because in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came upon people, left. New Testament theology, he comes inside of us. He's there. Jesus is there inside of me all the time. And that's why the Bible says, when it says things like pray without ceasing, I can do that. It's not like they're asking me for something I can't do. I can do that with God. I can pray unceasingly. Why? Because all I got to do is open up the communication and talk to him. It's practicing his continual presence in everything you do and everything you experience throughout your day. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's always there. So you can have conversation with him at any moment. What about prayer meetings, Pastor? Yeah, the church does prayer meetings. That's called corporate prayer. That's okay. I'm not a huge fan of corporate prayer, and I'll tell you why. Because most of corporate prayer is you listening to somebody else, and it's almost like a contest of who's going to pray the nicest prayer. Very few people focusing on God, but on, look, how is he talking about that? And without question, I challenge you, do a study in the New Testament on prayer. The vast majority of teaching on prayer is personal prayer, private prayer. That's what we're talking about here. Just you and God. The New Testament is all about this continual walk with God and presence of God in your life. And now, through the Holy Spirit, I can constantly be in communication with him at all times, in all situations. I can talk with God. That's what prayer is. It's conversation with God. Don't complicate it. I'm in my car. I don't know what it is about being in the car, but it's like vision. I don't know what it's like being in a shower, but when I'm in a shower, I get vision. But when I'm in a car, I have a lot of conversation with God. In fact, I was out and about the other day, and I'm talking with God, and it's like I'm looking over, and there's somebody looking at me there. And I'm hoping they thought I was singing a song or something like that. But I'm talking to God, and I talked to him about everything. I was passing by whenever I see flowers on the side of a road, I start talking to him about how I pray for grace and mercy for that family. That was probably a very, very difficult thing. They lost somebody there. And I pray, God, just send this prayer to them. Give them, show them grace and mercy right now. When I'm tempted, Lord, this is hard for me right now, but I want to do the right thing. When I see something good, I experience something good in my life. Lord, that didn't happen by accident. You're so good to me. You love me so much. All good and perfect gifts come from above. I see somebody who's lost. I see somebody who's struggling. And I start talking to God and saying, God, you know, there's no way I can judge anybody because I was like that one day. I was totally clueless. I was blind to you and the truth. Every experience that you're going to have today, every experience you're going to have tomorrow and every day after that can be a point of communication with God. And friend, that's what I think it means at its very base when it talks about walking with God. It's communing with him. It's talking to him. That's prayer. The reason God saved you is not for work. Let me repeat that. The reason God saved you is not that you do his work. It's a great privilege to be used by God, but that's not the reason why he saved you. The reason God saves you is for fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, we proclaim you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants to have fellowship with you. The Greek word there is koinonia. It means simply to meet with somebody. That's what prayer is. It's meeting with God. It's talking to him. He saved you for fellowship. One last thing, not a principle, just a piece of advice. Be real. Now, yes, I need to be respectful, but talk normal when you talk to God. Oh, that the great creator who dost provide me with all thy benevolence and divine provision. I beseech thee to answer this lowly servant. Stop with that. I can just imagine my 8-year-old granddaughter coming to ask me something. Oh, thou honored and gracious grandfather, whom dost spoil me constantly. Enrich me with a new gift, $30 for a new Lego set. I would say, stop it. Talk normal. Just tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's on your heart. Okay. No more preaching. Let's do it. Let's speak to God now. Let's practice. Let's apply the sermon. Show some respect. Be honest with him. Open up your heart and mind. Talk to him. And I'll close. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you want to walk with us and talk with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all of your good plans for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you prompt us and guide us and protect us. Oh, God, we need you so much. We need you every second, every moment of our life. Jesus, I pray that you will teach us how to pray and talk with you. Now may the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the grace, the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with us all, and God's people said,